Hello, Yes But Why listeners. This is your host, Amy Jordan. Welcome to episode 226, my interview with African writer and singer Katarina Chingoli. But first, let's hear about our sponsors. This episode of Yes But Why podcast is sponsored by Audible. You can get your free audiobook download and your 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. In my conversation with Katarina, we talk about the experience she had recording her song She in the studio. So let's look up recording music on Audible and see what we get. Okay, couple biographies of different music scenes. Cool, cool. A couple how to set up your at-home recording studio books. And a bevy of books about listening to these brainwave tracks and getting better at life. Huh. I gotta look into that now. Audible is available for your iPhone, Android, or Kindle. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. This episode of Yes But Why is also sponsored by PodcastCadet.com. Swing on by PodcastCadet.com to get help for all your podcasting needs. And hey, you guys, Podcast Cadet is me and my husband and our connections within the podcasting production scene. We want to help you get started with your podcast, and we want to connect you to resources to keep getting better with every new episode. Go to podcastcadet.com and put in offer code YBY20 to get 20% off your first consultation. This week on Yes But Why, I talked to African writer and singer Katarina Chingoli. During our chat, we talk about how Katarina finds inspiration and what drives her to create. Katarina regularly puts up poetry and short stories on her blog, Casey's Corner, and she recently wrote a book called The Vagina Diaries. I'm excited to share Katarina and her talents with you all. I now present to you Yes But Why, episode 226. Katarina Chingoli empowers women with her poetry and music. Enjoy! Amy Jordan, and this is Yes But Why podcast. Yeah.
I was around 12 years old. I had a sudden interest in songwriting. I wrote some funny songs, actually, and always entertained my family every single night when we came together to chat as a family. I think that's the first time that I realized that I had this passion in me for writing.
Oh, so did you write songs that your family sung?
Well, they never sang them. I did the singing. It was like I'm the entertainer, you know, performing for them.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Yeah.
Did little shows for them? Did they like it?
The little Miley Cyrus, the Miley Cyrus in the house, was like, okay, guys, I wrote a song. Everybody watch me.
Awesome. A classic opening. Same. I definitely had, every time my mom had dinner parties, I would sneak out of my bedroom and be doing, you know, song and dance numbers for the people furthest away from my mom. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so funny. Good. Awesome. So you wrote little songs for them and that's how you got started. Do you still, did you continue to do music as you got older?
Yes, I actually did. I'm actually working on a few songs right now in the studio.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. So you really got into songwriting and you really work on it. That's great. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What about it do you like?
The fact that I can write what I want and I can use it in music. I can sing about it. I can express how I feel about things. I can express how I feel about the world and so many things. That's what I love about it.
Do you think that songs are a better way to communicate what you're trying to get out?
With the poetry, sometimes people get lazy to read and they'll prefer maybe spoken word so that it's more interesting and they can exactly hear the tone that I wrote it in. Well, with the song, you know, the beat, the way I'm singing it, the coordination will tell you exactly what my emotions are like. you know?
Yeah. Plus, music is so much easier to, like, soak up. Like you were saying, people get lazy when they read. But, like, you hear a song, you know, people hear the song, they sing... They sing the same song over and over and over, right? Exactly. It doesn't matter that they're not going to read the same book over and over and over, but they'll certainly listen to the same song.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So did you study like instruments and stuff when you were a kid? Do you play instruments or is it you singing and, you know, you got your brothers and sisters to be the band?
I can only play the guitar, actually.
Hey, the guitar is pretty solid. I can't play the guitar.
Really? You can't play any instruments?
No.
You look like the type that can play instruments, you know. You look very creative.
Nice. That's nice. I like that. I'm going to put that on my website. She looks like the type to play instruments. I don't. No. No. I got the, I use my mouth, and that is what I do to get people to laugh and enjoy themselves. And I don't even sing. I just talk. So I don't even have the beauty of singing and the, you know, talent of playing a guitar. No. I just make real weird faces, and they're like, oh, she seems okay.
Oh, wow.
But so does you say you're surprised that I don't play guitar, but like, does everybody, you know, play guitar?
I mean, no,
maybe they do. It's like, if you were like, yes, definitely I'd be like, not. Oh, wow.
No.
So how'd you learn? Like, did you take classes with somebody or did your family teach you?
I actually took a class with one of the performers here, well-known performers. His name is Patrick Simokwele, a very well-known guitarist. So what happened is, I think he came over to the house and he brought his guitar and I was about 15. And then I just took it and then I was just, you know, playing around with it. And he said, do you want to learn? Because you look like you would like to learn. And I said, yeah. And I didn't find it hard at all to play it. Like the moment he taught me what to do, it just came naturally. And I was like, oh, so... There's that.
That's nice. Man, that's smooth. Yeah. I really enjoy that. I've definitely heard the opposite stories from people where they're like, and then I worked 6 years to figure out how to play guitar. I love that it came naturally for you and it felt good. There's something really nice about, you know, connecting with music in that way, especially it being sort of a natural flow of, you know, what you can express.
Yeah.
So do you write your own music and everything too? Are you like at home composing with your guitar and writing your music and the lyrics as well?
When it comes to my music, I hardly use my guitar. I just use the harmony in my head, the melody. And then I go to my producer friends and I say, hey, I have this song that I'm writing. It goes like this, and then they just start to try to make a beat and then call some musical guys to put in some instruments, and then we have a beat and we have a song.
Dude, that's so fun. What a fun community that you have. Are these just like friends ears that you like connected with to collaborate, or did they like hear you or see your writing and say like, hey, come work with us?
Well, we were not friends. When we first met, it happened when I was with one of my friends who also sings. And then they were like, hey, try like freestyle on this beat. And then I did that. And then they were so kind to say, whenever you need to use a studio, whenever you need a beat, whenever you write a song, just come to us and we'll help you out.
Wow, that's awesome. That's so nice.
Yeah, very generous. It's very rare because this side, studio time is kind of pricey. So,
sure, absolutely. Yeah. Wow, that's so great that you were able to make that connection. And they probably saw some talent in you, so they wanted to, you know, help you out with that. Have you recorded a few things with them, or you mostly just go over there and play?
No, we're actually recording. I've got a project coming up titled Love is Evil. Evil is love spelled backwards, not evil like evil, but love is evil, as in evil spelled backwards. Love is love, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because when you said it, I totally saw the spelling. Like, I got it when you said it the first time. Yeah, in this, like, you just, like, communicated it. So, awesome. You're great.
Oh, that's great. My friends were like, what do you mean love is evil? Love is a beautiful thing. Like, I haven't even told you the rest yet.
You're like, wait, hold on. Give me a second. It's a visual situation. Yeah. It'll make for great t-shirts. plus, come on, love is a little evil, you know, with EVIL. That's so great that you got connected to those producers. Now, have you been making your own? You've been writing your own songs previous to that, or was it like, you know, you played with your family and it was sort of like an at-home situation, and then you happened upon this opportunity with your other friend?
It just used to be fun and games until I met them. Then I started to write again. That's with the songs, because already I was writing poetry and some stories. Then the songwriting is just recent, you know.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Yeah. When you're sort of in one creative headspace to be opened up to something else, especially something that like sounds like it was so natural for you to do when you were a kid. One of the things I like to say, you know, when I talk to people that are, you know, like blocked, is think about what you did when you were a kid. Because as a kid, we don't have any of the baggage that like adulthood puts on us. You know, we don't have to pay bills or deal with the real world or anything. And so who that person is, who you are, that's the essence, the like basic essence of you. So it's so great that like this thing that you had fun doing when you were a kid with your friends and your family, you know, is something that can come back right now.
That's
so cool. How long have you been doing your blog? I've read through some of the poetry that you have on your blog. How long have you been putting that up?
It's been about a year and 7 months now. Yeah, around that time, yeah.
How does that feel when you put stuff up, like releasing it?
Sometimes I'm scared, like, am I good enough? Am I going to touch them when they read this? Like, so many things. Then I just told myself, hey, you've done your best. Put it out there. People read, people enjoy it. It doesn't matter if it's one person, three people. It's out there. You've done your part, you know?
Yeah. So what inspires you to do your writing? What keeps you going when you're developing your poems? Or do they just come to you every day?
Sometimes they just come to me. Other times it comes from the things that happen around me, like my friends, my family, even just people in a community. Like, I could just be walking and I'm going to see a homeless person sitting down and, you know, they look so hungry. They look depressed. You know, they need help. And people are just passing by. Nobody's paying attention to him. And then it's like, wow, what if that was me? Like, what would I say to God? What would I think about myself? And then I start to write, like, okay, motivation, inspiration.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Plus, even just from your example, it's a great motivator for compassion. You know, like you're not just looking at this person and like judging them for whatever's gone on in their life. Yeah. Like, oh man, I can't believe I got there. But you're like trying to imagine, what would I do if I were put in that position? There's something so much more empathic about artists when they're able to, you know, look at other people that way and see like, well, how do they feel?
Yeah.
What's your writing process like?
I usually use my laptop and my phone. So I make sure it's quiet.
Yeah.
Because unlike some people, I cannot work around noise.
Right.
So
on.
It's quiet. And then I sometimes, it's crazy, but I have a bunch of papers around me, right?
Yeah.
So it could be one topic, but there could be different ways or styles I could write it. So each paper will have its own, let's say, sentence. Maybe I'll start a sentence with maybe 10 words in one, then maybe one with 5 words, and then another will just have a phrase, and then I go around like that. And then at the end of it, I just mix it up together to form my piece.
Huh. That's so a lot of times, so it's like you're making like a mixtape. Sorry, that is an old reference. I'm terribly sorry for that one. You're like, what's a mixtape? It's like a mix of something, right? Where you're picking the phrases from around you. So do you have like a notebook that you just write phrases in when they occur to you, and then you like put them together in one piece? One long poem.
Yeah, if I'm not on my phone, I do have a notebook that I always go around with. Always have it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the papers all around you, so I figured it was like you're writing little bits in notebooks. Makes me think of when I was younger, I did stand up comedy and I have hundreds of books of little notebooks of just like ideas written down on every single page. So yeah, I really like the idea that you use all your ideas.
Thank you.
Well, because there's something to be said about, like, you know, when people say, you know, you'll be working on something and sometimes you write 1,000 ideas and you use one of those ideas, and they're like, what about those other ideas that you didn't use? And my argument is usually like, they're good because they got you to where you needed to go. Like, it's not that you have to use them, it's that they inspire you, you know. But I really enjoy the idea of this sort of like patchwork quilt of ideas that you have, that you put together into sort of like, this is what's going on with me right now. This is what I've been thinking about. Reminds me of like a folk song, like a long story song, like a long folk song where guys like, I did this and then I did that and then I learned this. Not like a song where it's like, you know, a chorus and like some repetitive stuff. But just because it's like, I imagine what you've written is like how you've been inspired over the course of like a week or something like that. And then you're like picking up the pieces, finding out what the puzzle is. How did you come to that style?
Honestly, it just came. Like, I don't have any explanation. I guess one day found myself with a bunch of papers. I'm like, I wasn't sure which one or which style I'd use. So that's what led me to having different ideas on different papers. Then at the end of the day, I mixed it up to form, you know, one thing.
Sure. Yeah, you got to find a way to make it work, for sure. I do a lot of work in improv, and a lot of times improv is like, here's a bunch of different ideas that don't make sense together. Make sense of them together. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I get that. I feel like that's a really excellent skill to have, for sure, to be able to make it work. Yeah. If only just because, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm glad I found someone who understands, because, you know.
Not a lot of people in your life are understanding of your creative process?
No, they just look at me like, okay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are the producers and your singer friend the only other creative people that you have in your life? Everybody else is kind of living a non-creative life? I mean, as it were.
That's a way to put it. One of my sisters sings, but she doesn't write songs, but she can sing, so.
Sure. So what about your friends? Do you have, like, a community that you're writing with? And I asked about the style that you write in because I wondered perhaps if you had taken classes in writing. Did you learn creative writing in school, or are you like the guitar, like, you know, a few lessons and it comes naturally?
When it comes to writing, I did not attend a specific school, but I was part of the writer's club since 2016 to 2018 is when I stopped attending because I moved very far. But I think that's where I got to grow as a writer.
Did the club have assignments, and or was it kind of like you guys just sort of supported each other in the projects you wanted to work on?
We actually had a topic every single week.
Oh.
So we everybody had a turn. Every week a person would say, "Okay, guys, I would like us to write about this." So it was very interesting. Got some very interesting topics, you know.
Yeah. Plus I love a deadline. Ooh.
Yeah.
Nothing better than someone forcing me to do it, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm dying from right now is a lack of a deadline, you know? And nobody's like, you got to write this. I'm like, I have a bunch of ideas that I'd like to write. And I will never get to them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you have yourself on a schedule to do your poetry and your blog posts? Is that what keeps you accountable?
Well, the problem is I lack consistency, you know? I would love to do that, give myself a deadline or specific time where I do it, but sometimes I'll just wake up and like, oh, I have to post on the blog. But the one thing that I do maintain is every week I post at least 3 pieces of poetry or something like that. So yeah.
3 posts a week on your blog? Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Wow. Now that's a deadline though. I know like popular bloggers that don't prepare and they do, and that hundreds of thousands of millions of people are reading their, like, you know, talking about their, how they cleaned their house this week, but they didn't prepare it, you know. Don't worry.
Yeah.
The fact that you're literally putting the effort in to post it 3 times a week is awesome. Like that's an excellent deadline.
Thank you. I didn't see it as a deadline. I thought, oh, it's just random, you know.
Well, I mean, if you don't have specific days that it goes out, sure. Like I get that it doesn't feel like a deadline, but 3 different things. Like number one, you're writing 3 finished pieces every week. Mind blown, yeah. Right? Like I haven't had a finished piece in like months, right? But like, I guess in, to a certain extent, writing the blurbs of the episodes is writing, but it doesn't feel like it, you know? I do that once a week for sure. But it's like you're putting out poetry and like creating something every week. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. What's the last thing you wrote, if I may ask?
Oh, what is the last thing I wrote? I think the last thing I wrote was a sketch comedy. I teach sketch comedy, so a lot of times I will do the assignment that I give to my students just to, like, especially if I create a new assignment. At the beginning of the COVID shutdown, so in April and May, I did a couple of Zoom online classes and wrote a little bit with them. So I did like a 5-week, I did 5-week courses for people teaching sketch comedy, but I had never taught it on Zoom before. So I didn't know if I was asking them to do something that was weird. So when I asked them to do stuff, I would do what I asked them to do so that if it turned out that it was like really hard or like clunky to accomplish while we were online, I would adjust it for later classes or like give them something else so that it was like, okay, you're right, guys, that was weird. But yeah, no, it was just a sketch. Just sketch comedy. That's usually what I write. They're shorter, like 3 pages and all dialogue, which makes it a lot easier, I think, personally. But I haven't done one in a long time. It's hard to get inspired to do my own stuff. That's kind of also why I like to do the podcast, because I like talking to other people and hearing about their thing. Like your 3 posts a week on your blog is very inspiring to me.
Well, it's recent. Hey, I shouldn't say it like I've been doing it all this time, but it's recent. I just told myself, you gotta post. You gotta, you know, constantly post. Like, don't leave the people. Post.
It's true. It's true. You're right. That is how you do it. Yeah, the more content you put up on your website, the more likely you're going to get like Google hits on it. So you might as well.
Yeah. And you seem very talented, very talented. It's an honor to
I give off that
I'm
vibe.
Very honored to be part of this. 'Cause...
Oh. Oh, absolutely. Well, like I said to you earlier before we started recording, like, I am very impressed by the fact that, you know, you promoted yourself online and that me, hundreds of, you know, thousands of miles away saw this, right? Like, I was like, oh, look at this. Mm-hmm. This cool girl's writing some stuff. I read a few of your poems and I was like, oh, rockin'. Like, let's see, let's get her on the podcast. Because I really think that, you know, there's plenty of people out there that have like marketing teams or whatever that are promoting them, and that's great, and I love them, and please, marketing teams, send your people to me. But, you know, also I really appreciate the people that are doing it for themselves, that are like trying to get themselves out there, right? And, you know, you gave yourself the 3 posts a week thing, maybe not for the whole year, but you've done it for a while. There's a lot on your blog. That's why I asked, because I was like, there's a ton on here. How long have you been doing this? But like 3 a week, that's a great thing to give yourself. Like, I don't know that I'm gonna make myself do 3 a week. Let's just be honest here, I probably won't, but maybe one thing a week I can do, maybe two, who knows, we'll try. I'll certainly be inspired to do that now. But the, even just the promotion of the Facebook page, I'm like, oh man, I need to be promoting my Facebook page. Like, that, it got me internationally, and that's really great. Like, the reach of that was, you know, sort of hit the demographic, I guess. I'm your demographic. I was like, yeah, what's this? Yeah. I want to read it, you know? I'm just saying, you marketed yourself well. You're doing it. I, you know, give yourself the credit of that, at least.
Thank you so much.
Now tell me more about your, you know, like, community. Do you have, you said you've moved away from the Writers Club, so you don't really have anybody you're working on stuff with, but you have your singer friend who brought you to the studio when she was recording, so you at least have a few people. Do you do, like, do you go to open mics? Is there somewhere else that, are you like hanging out at a friend's house and everyone's jamming guitars and you're singing? Like, how are you, what's your creative community like?
I actually have stage fright, so I can only sing around them.
Oh yeah? Stage fright?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Yeah. I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I've tried to sing on stage before and I was shaken. Okay. I was shaken.
Sure.
It was in church, so I was safe, you know.
Yeah, very safe.
I was safe. I did manage to sing, but I was shaking a lot, so that just made it awful.
Oh. Well, you know, I find that happens, you know, the first couple of times. You can get nervous and start shaking. But, I mean, you're good at what you do, right? And, I mean, enough that your friend and the producers that you work with now were like, what's up? Let's work on projects together. Like, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't be like, oh man, that girl sings off key. No good. You know, they like you. It's, that says something.
Yeah, I guess.
So you're not then going to open mics and singing songs and putting yourself out there. Are there things that you go to?
Not really. Especially with this pandemic. No, not at the moment.
Oh, really? I was hoping that part was good for you. Dang. I read an article that said that Africa handled it, so I felt like, oh, maybe she's cool. Maybe everything's fine for her. Not so much?
No, actually, I feel like it's getting worse every day because people here don't take it seriously, you know?
Same.
Not everybody wears masks. People want to be forced to wash their hands. It's like, wow, guys. It's like they just ignore this corona thing. It's like, hey, we've gone through worse. What are you?
Oh, man, dang. Yeah. Well, whoever's in charge of PR has said that everything was hunky dory in Africa. So I was really hoping for the best for you. But it sounds like you have a similar thing. Texas is one of the bad U.S. states that's not taking it seriously, and that's where I am. And people are not wearing masks and they're partying. They keep going out to large parties. I heard kids were having a COVID party where they find somebody who has it and go hang out with them. I'm like, guys, that's hilarious. Please stop. But I had hoped that perhaps I had hoped perhaps it was okay for you. That's a darn shame. Did the recording at the studio happen pre-COVID then?
It happened when it just, you know, started. I was last there about 4 weeks ago. We take all the, you know, precautions. We think we're careful, but we try to, you know, just prevent it. Wash your hands. We have a mask on. Only on the booth, that's when, you know, I have to take my mask off because I have to sing, can sing with my mask on, you know.
Yeah, totally. Plus, I feel like studios could plausibly be cleaner than lots of other places just because, like, it's only got so many pieces of equipment in the room so they can easily, like, wipe it down if they want or, like, you know, throw an air purifier in there and that should be fine, you know. I can't imagine that's too bad. And it's not like it's, like, you know, super crazy busy, like, oh, there's 45 guys in here. Like, no.
No,
it's kind of a smaller crowd situation. Those kinds of things tend to be a little bit better. Man, it's so crazy. Are you still working on writing songs and stuff, even though you're basically shut down at home?
I've taken a few steps back on the songs, so I'm focusing on the poetry right now. Mm. I have a poetry book coming out. It's titled The Vagina Diaries.
Yeah. I saw the artwork on your blog. Did you make all that art?
I didn't make it. I found it on Pinterest.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
all of
fun.
It is from Pinterest. I would not take credit for something I didn't do. Pinterest did that.
Oh, yes. Oh, interesting. Wow. I was going to be like, some of that stuff was super intense, which I appreciate. But yeah, that's so great. So this is a compilation of poems that you put together?
Yeah.
Tell me about them.
Well, a lot of people are asking, why the vagina, you know?
Sure.
So The Vagina Diaries, that's the title.
Yeah.
I talk about the vagina as a living thing, as in I bring it to life. It is able to communicate with the woman about its feelings, what it likes, what it doesn't like, what it feels, and how changes in the environment can affect it. Its sensitivity and what it would want the woman to change, the things that make it comfortable, the things that bring pleasure to it. We're talking about listening and understanding the vagina.
Did you come up with the topic because there's a lot of, there's a lack of talk about it?
Sorry?
Did you come up with the topic because people aren't talking about it and you felt like you needed to talk about it?
Actually, I brought it up because we have cases of sexual abuse, harassment, rape. And what causes all of this, or the center of it all, is the vagina. Men want to harass women because they want to have sex with them. The vagina is what they use to have sex with them, you know?
Yeah.
And so many other things. Like, sometimes having a vagina can be a burden because, you know, people just want to use you to get to it. So I'm going to write about all of that in the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Plus, on the sort of flip side of it, it's, and I often think this is the case when, you know, people are so, like, crazed about something, is that it's kind of the most important thing, like, in a lot of ways, like, the life-giving nature of it, the, like, its existence, even in its, you know, monthly cycle, and the way that it renews itself. It creates this environment for nurturing, and then it renews itself again. Like, okay, well, I will change. I will adjust. You know, it's like this example of some part of us that is able to not just be like, that's what this is, but it's like, it changes, it adjusts, it, like, it can create life. It can, like through, it is literally the doorway for us to enter the earth. Like, there's something, and we, like, because I very recently had a child, I've reflected on this, and the, like, the insane idea of having a child is wild when you're doing it. Like, I remember the whole time just being like, I can't believe this is happening inside of my body. Like, this is crazy. And I know that, like, millions, kabillions of women everywhere forever having babies, but I hadn't experienced it, you know? And I was an older mom. Like we've established, I'm older than you, but I'm way older than you because I had the baby when I was 39. And that's very older. People were like, are you okay? And I was okay. But...
that's great.
But it was so interesting because I did not expect to have that life experience, you know? I kind of thought, oh, you know, it happens for some people. It doesn't happen for other people. I'm cool with whatever my life has. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, guess what? You're having this life experience. And so there's just something so fascinating. And that's another reason, too, why it always blows my mind that, like you said, women are... you know, being harassed for this, their body in this way. And it's like, we're perfect. We are the self-generating scenario here. Like we're the top. Don't let anyone else tell you that we're the second in command here of the world. No, women number one, because like we can do the whole thing. We can make it, we can keep it. We can keep it all safe. You know, it adjusts regularly. It handles the times. Even the idea, I'm going down a weird vagina rabbit hole here, but it's happening. Even the idea of it, of like the pH balance, the way that literally the inside of it maintains like a setup, like that's amazing. Why can't more of my body parts regulate themselves in that way? I know that a lot of them do, but you know what I mean? Like it's...
yeah,
it's so fascinating. Like it's a self-cleaning oven. Like it takes care of itself, right? Amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's an excellent topic, and I appreciate where you're coming from with it. And it's got a lot, you know, there's a lot of fodder for lots of different poetry and creativity from the point of view of a vagina, for sure. Was it a reaction to the sexual abuse that you saw that you decided to start writing these poems? And is the effort of the book to educate people on what's going on?
I can say yes, because there was somebody who asked me to write about something they went through. They told me about it and asked me to write about it in a creative manner. So I did that, and I posted it on my blog as well. I shared it on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook as well. You might have seen it. I titled it, Not Three, But Forced Foursome. She was raped by her ex-boyfriend and two of his friends. Mm. So I think that was also a big part of the inspiration behind it, because it just really got to me. Writing about it wasn't enough. I just had to, you know, add on to it by writing this book.
Yeah. Are you connecting with foundations and charities that do work of this kind? Because I feel like, you know, you really could. You really could put yourself out there, or like, you know, it's like this book can be sold with this group that's trying to help women, you know, and whatnot.
I'm still working on that, because most of the organizations this side are a bit silent. They're not moving around as much. Mm. Not many projects are running because of the pandemic. So they've just, you know, kind of shut down, kind of on the low. But I'm pretty sure they're going to be interested in the book, because already I've had people ask me about it, if they'll buy it. I don't even know if I'll sell it, because it's literally my first book, you know.
Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, try to sell it. Why not? Maybe that's just my American point of view, but I'm like, no, get money for it.
Like, I feel I should too.
It's like, hey,
it's
you can get money.
It's a tough crowd.
Sure, definitely is a tough crowd. It's a tough crowd for buying books, and then it's a tough crowd for going, hey, women are great, right? And they're like, I guess. You're like, oh, man. Like, dang it, who am I looking for here? That's okay. You got a U.S. audience now. They'll be buying it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, Now, it sounds like most of your creativity comes to you naturally, that your ideas on how to write songs and, you know, play guitar, even just writing, are sort of like natural parts of your body. They're like who you are, and this is just how you express who you are. Do you have any advice for, you know, other people who want to be writing and, you know, communicating? You're using this skill that you have of writing poetry to shed light on, you know, particular things that you want the world to look at. What advice do you have for other people who are trying to do that but maybe don't know where to start?
They should open their imagination very wide. There's a lot happening around. There is too much to write about. All these emotions, you know, at the somebody is crying, somebody is, you know, rejoicing. Like, there's emotions around us. We're going through different things at different times. And I feel like that's more than enough to give somebody some inspiration to write something.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't even, like, try to make it perfect. Even if it's just writing about, I woke up today, I felt like this, my day was like this. And, you know, just be creative about it. I think that's enough. That's a start.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, journaling, yeah. Even just for yourself, even if you don't, you know, you don't have to do 3 posts on your blog a week, everybody. Don't worry. Not all of us can be as good as Katarina. Oh, goodness. But I'm trying. But yeah, I like that. I find that... I feel similarly to you, that there are just so many ideas everywhere all the time. Like, whenever I go out of the house, I just look at people and I, like, imagine their entire lives. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's sometimes it's kind of like, what to write about? I think that's probably what's holding me back. It's like, so many ideas. What do I choose? And it's like, just write something. You're right. Just write it. Just put pen to paper, figure something out. As far as the way that you get stuff out there, are you ever, you know, like teaching other people or leading other people? You would seem to be sort of a good person to inspire other writers to get work done.
Well, I do talk to a lot of writers and we just share a post and we appreciate and we talk about them. So I wouldn't say I teach, but I learn from others and they learn from me. That's what I think I would say about that.
Yeah. Are you connecting to online writing communities, like on Facebook and stuff?
I'm just in a few groups. I think just Writers Association or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll see if I can't find any fun writers groups to connect you to. Could be good. Sometimes there's something nice about, sometimes there's something good about, you know, talking to other writers, if only just to be like, oh, wait, I'm not the only one who's got 47,000 ideas in her head and I can't even like put one on a piece of paper. Like, I'm like, I got a bunch of ideas. This page is empty. Why? All right. So are there any other details of your journey that you'd want to share about how you've found creativity or how you foster it in your own life?
I have gone through some pretty intense things in my life, and I think they helped me with my writing as well, because I was able to exactly know how to use emotion, because sometimes it's just words, but when you can connect your words with emotion, it's even better, you know. So those experiences really shaped me into being like that and doing all that.
Awesome. Man, you really are an artist, because, you know, not a lot of people would be able to soak up the life lessons and even the creative lessons from tough times. That's pretty awesome that, you know, you're like reflecting on some terrible things that have happened in my life. I found a way to be creative. Like, oh, God, that's great.
Yeah.
Man, so wild. Well, thank you so much for putting yourself out there and inspiring me to work harder as far as like writing goes. And, you know, I hope that the COVID shutdown doesn't hold you back too much more from continuing to record music. I'd love to, I'm sure I'll keep an eye on the blog. If you have anything you can release, you know, let me know. Congrats on working on that kind of stuff. And, you know, thanks for chatting with me. I'm just so happy to have been able to talk to you and to, you know, hear how it's going for you both as a creative and then, you know, sort of as a creative during COVID.
Thank you so much for having me as well. Like I said, you're very talented and I've learned a lot from you too. Look at you. You have a whole podcast. Very entertaining, I'm telling you, and it's rare.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.